As we conclude our series of shiurim on Baal Tollin, there are a number of interesting questions. One question is there an isser of Baal Tollin on paying Koyle Yungalite? Is a Koyle Yungaman learning in Koyle considered like a worker? So the Paiskim say as follows. Certainly in a situation where there are specific hours that the Koyle Talmud has to be in the Koyle, and there's not only hours that he has to be there, he's supposed to learn certain limudim with certain chavruses, he's certainly considered like a Koyle. Moreover, if the Rosh Koyle, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Koyle, have panosa from this, so this is like their business. And revolves in the Shiles of Tshuva Shevet Alevi, Chelik Ches Simen Shin Tezvov, says under those circumstances, it's considered like any other worker. And so too, does the Tischei Kachoshin quote the Saba Kadisha of Shlomo Eliezer Alefandri Zatzal, that there is Baal Tollin by Avrechi Koyle. In fact, Rav Moshe Sternbuch says that the obligation to pay Chavri Koyle comes before all other Chavis. However, Rav Aaron, in the Shas Chuvas Mishnas of Aaron, Chelik Beis Simen Ayin Gimel, says that there is no Baal Tollin. He says, one cannot view, says Rav Aaron, the relationship between the employee, between the Koyle Yungalite and the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Koyle, like an employer-employee relationship. And therefore, only by an employer-employee relationship is there a din of Baal Tollin. Here, it's not an employee-employer relationship, and there is no Baal Tollin. Having said that, and Rabbi Yoshev has a different reasoning why it wouldn't be an issue of Baal Tollin. He says that the only reason a Koyle Yungaman or a Rebbe in the yeshiva for that matter are allowed to get paid is because of the concept of Schar B'Tayla. Schar B'Tayla says that the Gemara says Ma ani b'chinom af atim b'chinom. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't charge us to teach us his Torah, we too, when we teach others Torah, have no right to charge for the teaching of Torah. But says, so the only reason we're allowed to get paid is Schar B'Tayla, because we could have been doing something else at that time. So says Rabbi Yoshev, Schar B'Tayla is not considered the same as all other types of work. In fact, that's the same reason we discussed in a previous year why Rebbeim may not go on strike. And therefore, Schar B'Tayla isn't subject, according to Rabbi Yoshev, to the halachas of Schar B'Tayla. Having discussed in our shiurim how important Baal Tollin is, that doesn't mean that if an employer violated his halachas and didn't pay his employee in a timely fashion, the employee has a right to ask for damages for not getting paid on a timely fashion. That would be gezel, and would also be a shayla of ribbis. Davos Chesed also says that a person is supposed to borrow money in order to pay his workers the money that he owes them. Just like for all mitzvahs in the Torah, a person is supposed to exert himself, so too for this mitzvah as well. Now, what's going to be the halacha if an employer doesn't have enough money to pay his employees? So certainly, in a place where there's an accepted law
or minig, that's what should be followed. But if there's no accepted law or minig, the halacha is that the worker who needs the money the most come first. What's the definition of somebody who needs the money? It's someone who needs a salary to live on. So let's say you have a business where you have quite a number of employees, and some are higher paid employees, and some are employees that are paid less. So what you should do is figure out a base salary that you could afford to give to all your employees, and that's the money you should give to everyone. And then the extra money you'll pay, and then the money you owe, you'll owe. However, the Paiskim do say that important employees can come first. So let's say I have a very important employee in my business, and he's a high paid employee. But if I don't pay him, he's going to leave. And if he leaves, my entire business will break up, even though he's a high paid employee, and maybe he needs the money less than some of the other employees, I still have to pay him first. In our shiurim, we've been focused mainly on the employer's responsibilities. But we can't forget that employees also have responsibilities. Up to the point that I saw an employee is not allowed to go on a diet if it's a medical situation, it's maybe different, but he's not allowed to go on a diet if it's going to impair his ability to do work without permission from his employer. And even if it's a medical situation, the employer maybe could tell the employee, not as a question, we had this concept many times in the Masechta Bava Metzia, mazloch garim, it's your bad luck. So now the question is, whose bad luck is it? Is it the employer's bad luck that his employee got sick and now has to diet and won't be able to do such an effective job? Or is it the employee's problem that he's sick? An employee can't take another job, certainly if it'll affect him during work hours. But even if he takes another job, not during his 9-to-5 work hours, but if it will affect the quality of work during his job, he can't take another job without permission. Moreover, an employee may not use the employer's property without permission, even if everybody does. And that includes, I saw the Paiskim say, speaking on the telephone, or surfing the internet, or even listening to a shiur during the time that I'm supposed to be working. And again, the Paiskim are very clear in saying that there is no heter in saying, well, everybody does it. Everybody does it, doesn't make something mutter. And I saw from the Sefer, Mishpatei HaTorah, that he gives a test. How do I know if what I'm doing is permitted or not permitted? He says like this, would I be doing what I'm doing if my boss were standing here? If I would still feel comfortable in doing what I'm doing, even if my employer was standing here, then I'm allowed to do it. But if not, I have no right to do it. The Ahavas Chesed quotes the Zohar that says that if somebody mistreats his employee, or if somebody withholds salary that he owes to his employee, says the Zohar, afilu is gazer ahu banash. Even if this person, this employee, Baruch Hashem, has a wonderful gzeir from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kama yomim, that he'll have many days still, the kama tovim, and he has a gzeir that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do all sorts of good things on his behalf, kulon misakrin minei umistalta minei, all of these wonderful good things that are supposed to happen to him, he will lose by not treating his employee right. The Stei Chevet quotes
Reb Chaim Vital, who says that where do we find the first place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled the mitzvah of B'yoy Matita in Tzchara? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam HaRishon was brought into the world on the sixth day of creation, and Adam HaRishon did what he was supposed to do. And it's interesting to point out, and it goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of our series of Shurim. It wasn't that Adam HaRishon did a perfect job. We know that Adam HaRishon did an Aveira on the first day that he was created. But as we said, just because the worker did something wrong doesn't mean that we have a right to withhold his salary. So Adam HaRishon did his job, and what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him as a salary? HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid him right away Shabbos. What do we get on Shabbos? A neshama yaseira. Says Reb Chaim Vital that anyone who's careful to fulfill b'yoy ma'itita in tzcharai is zoicha to neshama yaseira. And he says, interestingly, the first letters of the words b'yomai titei tzcharoi is Shabbos. If somebody will indeed fulfill these mitzvahs and treat his employee properly and do as the halacha requires, he will be zoicha to Shabbos, a yom shekulei oruch, a yom shekulei menucha.